Folks, we're going to get right to the meat of the matter. So, Russ, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thanks, Lowell.
Just a little bit of background about myself. My name is Ross Harvey, as Lowell said. I'm a recent 1970 graduate in plant science. Like many in the room, I started my career in agri-marketing in a sales position, also like many in this room, with a company that no longer exists. That was Rowan Poulenc. Spent the early part of my career after that with Monsanto. In the mid-80s, I became a founding partner in an advertising and marketing communications firm called AdFarm, which was formed to serve only agricultural accounts. We still do that. I'm based in Sacramento, one of six offices across the U.S. and Canada. In preparing for this presentation, I was delighted that ASTA and Andy gave me a pretty open slope to kind of talk about what I wanted to in the arena of agri-marketing. And then I arrived yesterday, and I got this name tag, and I got a little worried because it says complimentary speaker. So I thought maybe I might be wrong, and I was only supposed to say nice things. However, I am going to talk about my profession, my industry of agri-marketing, and give you my thoughts and observations on some trends and changes and pressure points. And it's based on certainly the observations I see in the seed industry, but more broadly than that. We serve about 80 organizations across all of our offices, all of whom are attempting to influence the same end user. So I've stepped back and taken a look at that experience as well as competitive organizations, and I'm going to offer my thoughts, my observations, and my conclusions. All of those organizations appeal to the same end user, as I said, but there's small organizations, large corporations, local, global, public, and private. So it's not any one sector. If I was talking to analysts, this is the point that I'd be giving you a caution, some guidance. There's no silver bullet. I'm not going to give you a formula to effective agri-marketing. I'm not going to give you a litany of the most common mistakes that I see in agri-marketing. I'm going to give you a series of observations and hopefully things to think about. Now, I could have started with the expected, some of the things that are going on in how we communicate to, market to, and attempt to influence the consumer we call the primary producer, the farmer. Some of those are pretty obvious, and you're aware of them. Social media use is expanding rapidly and has become a modest but important part of the global agri-marketing budget. Customer targeting, largely through inexpensive data processing, increasing sophistication and technology, is becoming increasingly precise, notably online. Conventional communications options are still a part of the mix, though. And mobility, we're reaching the producer where he is, when he is. But I want to step back and talk a little bit more broadly than that. So I've taken my observations and put them into three theme areas. First of all, I call it marketing issues at play. These are issues, some of which are long-standing. It's things that have been happening for a long time, but we're still wrestling with them. Some are developing. Tactical observations, the executional side, and then some thoughts on management issues, how agri-marketing is managed. The first unresolved issue is one that we have been dealing with probably for a generation or maybe even longer, which is the impact of producer consolidation, the emergence of more larger enterprises, bigger scale, bigger purchasing power, greater sophistication, and more people. That creates great complexity of selling. How do you deal with it in terms of multiple points of contact, multiple influences on a decision? How do you communicate to them? How do you develop, feed, and sustain a database of all those points within an enterprise? How do you structure a sales team? What kind of a sales team? Is it the same skills, different skills, modified skills? How do you coordinate all of those points of influence? Those are all challenges that we are all wrestling with, but the commercial imperative to keep wrestling with it is obvious. Another part of that is customer power has increased. Common analysis in any industry is take a look at where is the power. Well, customer power has increased. The question is, how will it be exercised going forward? I would suggest that we've responded to larger entities in the first generation way, which is to respond to their volume through programming, volume incentives, packaging, bundling. I think that's early days. How we respond now will be to figure out how we serve those larger enterprise in a more added value way. Another challenge is that in agriculture, the middle's disappearing. We've got a segment of modest-sized production and a segment of large-scale production. How do you, with the same organization, appeal to both of those sectors? Cost to serve is very different. Not just how do you market to them, but how do you serve? And finally, in the arena of research, understanding, and insights, do we really understand the needs and values of the large-scale producer? I believe, and I've, like most of you, have seen lots and lots and lots and lots of research about large-scale producers, how decisions are made, what's important to them. I haven't seen the same depth of information about their values, their business values, their personal values, and some of their legacy values about agriculture and farming. So I think that's an input need. So there's the first force at play that our organization and our clients continue to evolve and wrestle with. Second is one that isn't just an agri-marketing, my sector of the industry challenge, which is the human talent challenge. In agriculture today, we're not down on the farm anymore. The talents that we need, the talents that will grow our industry, are broad talents that are saleable in more than our industry. They transfer easily. So competition for human talent is greater than ever. We've also got an experience trough. Agriculture 10 years ago was a much less attractive industry to enter than what it is today. The result of that is we today have an experience trough. I like to think that I hate to admit that our HR department spends about half its time defending our talent against rating. That's a reflection of there's an experience trough. And on the marketing and sales skill side, the needs of those functions are changing because of technology, customer changes, and there's a need to invest in reskilling. So, second force of change that's a pressure in agri-marketing, human talent. Now, what's that got to do with agri-marketing? The observations on outcome. I think the experience trough in particular results in communications in particular tending to be too tactical rather than strategic. I think that across my experience of clients, that there's a need for greater focus, a greater priority placed on singularity of message, and greater definition of audience. And I think that our focus in agri-marketing tends to be shorter term, which is not consistent with the longer term objectives of most technology-based industries and most long-term commercial organizations, for that matter. So that's the outcome, I believe, of agri-marketing inexperience. Too tactical, too unfocused, and too short-term. Third issue is a developing one. And that's the whole area of data-driven decision-making. The outcome of precision farming, to put a category name on it. Technology is equipping us with a vastly expanded capacity to collect and act on field-level, part-field-level, row-level data. The ramification of that, though, has lots of strategic considerations. What will be the impact on roles of all the players in the crop inputs industry? Technology supplier, the channel, crop consultants. What's the impact of all of that information going to be on those roles? A more fundamental one. Who controls, holds, and is able to access the data? And under what conditions and cautions? What are the sources of competitive advantage that data will imbue? How high, for example, of a barrier to exit can be created? What's the value? What's the competitive value of the capacity to understand and anticipate needs and therefore develop customized offers in response to those needs? You know, a simple analogy to those competitive advantages would be the relationship that we all have with our banks. You know, I can't say I'm ecstatic about the service I receive from my bank. I'm not delighted. I don't rave about my bank to my friends and associates. But I'm probably never going to leave them because it's just too much of trouble. All the information, all the things that they know about me, all the triggers that they give me, all the reminders they provide to me, I am not going to repeat that somewhere else. So there's an enormous barrier to exit for me with my bank based on data. So, lots of questions there. I haven't figured out the answers, but I'm trying to understand them better. So there's my list of three evolving and current trends that we're still wrestling to the ground when it comes to agri-marketing decisions. But what's the best tactical mix? What are the most appropriate strategies? Where's the source of competitive advantage? Large-scale farms, impact. Competition for human talent and data-driven decision-making. There's others. Things like the perception of agriculture in society today. How do you juggle a budget across more options than ever before? But that's the short list that our firm tries to spend some time thinking about on behalf of our clients. On executional issues, pile number two, executional issues. Most of my career, we've been an industry focused on communicating product functional benefits. Bigger, better, faster, more yield, easier to control. Functional benefits. Significant, absolutely. However, with a number of things, increasing parity in technology offer, increasing sophistication of technology offer, increasing sophistication of consumer, farm consolidation into larger units, pressures from the outside world, regulatory, society, that message has been evolving and will continue to. We're going to add to that functional message some message about business impacts, ROI, impact on logistics, impact on labor, impact on cash flow, impact on marketing opportunities, impact on freedom to operate. So the technical story is evolving into a business story. That's a different story. That takes different content. It's a different story to communicate. It may impact communication details. It may impact the audience that we share all that with. Oh, another kind of an offshoot about that of that issue is the point of consumer trust, farm trust. Particularly in the seed industry, which is an industry like I suspect everybody in this room has been tracking farm decision-making process when it comes to the decision about what goes into the ground. And that's more important today than ever before because the seed controls the acre. But that decision-making process has been changing, tipping, 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 and changing. At one point, it was a relatively rigorous, often multiple-year proving exercise. Tactics that we had included yield trials, product demonstrations, sample product, lots of data, peer-to-peer influence, a proving exercise. But now with more technical parity, a parity that's facilitated by licensing agreements, by the way, rapid turnover of technology in the seed, on the seed, around the seed, all of that means that the decision of what to plant is now speeding up. And in that, growers need something to trust. The proving trust point is getting less reliable. So what do they trust? And I would suggest to you what they trust is a someone as opposed to a something. So that's a challenge. I'll come back and talk about that a little bit because that comes down to organizational brand. Other executional issues. Speed has become a source of competitive advantage. The capacity to move from planning to intent to execution. The ability to do that quickly, rapidly, and in time has become a source of competitive advantage. You know, there's a notion in marketing today in the bigger world called real-time marketing. An example of that was the Super Bowl last year. Who remembers the power going out? Middle of the Super Bowl, the lights go down. There was one of the sponsors on Super Bowl, one of the television sponsors, had a Twitter ad, an ad online after the power went out in 11 minutes. The concept was developed. First of all, an opportunity was recognized, a concept developed, obviously simple. It was produced, approved, and placed in 11 minutes. That's real-time marketing. And I would suggest that, partly again because of that experience gap that I talk about, or trough, is that in the world of agri-marketing, planning and intent are taking longer than they've ever taken. So a challenge that I have to my clients is go faster. Ironically, the other side of that time coin is that the expectations of our customer for response have risen. They've risen. Now, a lot of that is due to what's on all of our desks and in all of our pockets. Technology has raised our expectations of response. On social media, for example, society, this isn't producers specifically, but I don't think they're any different. In society generally, the expectation is that on inquiries, questions, or complaints registered via social media vehicles, that the recipient of that, the supplier, the business, the provider, will respond within an hour. 42% is the percentage of society that has that expectation. If I raise a concern, I expect an answer in an hour. That's a pretty high standard. So I guess the challenge is, are you doing it? Are you equipped, structured, organized, and staffed to do it? If you solicit inquiries, how fast are you responding to them? Another executional issue. This one is an interesting one for me, because I just said that it's getting more complicated. It's not a technical story, now it's technical and business. There's more issues to consider. There's more people to tell that story to. On the other hand, we live in a 140-character world. Brevity is an art. Brevity is important. So how do you communicate a lot of information easily? Well, visual presentation, including video, is more attractive than ever before and more cost-effective than ever before. You know, after all, every one of the people in your organization and every customer you have is a cameraman today, for good or for evil. Now, I've referenced social media a little bit. A subtitle on this might be, you've discovered Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest. Now what do you do? My general observation, our customers are using social media better than we are. The power in social media is that it's a mechanism for dialogue. It's a mechanism for conversation. It's a mechanism actually for going looking for trouble. In other words, what your customer really thinks. But we tend, as agribusiness, we tend to use it as a broadcast one-way tool. So I think there's opportunity unused. There's an opportunity to nurture, encourage, reward feedback with the intent of holding a conversation. Another part of that is that we look at the world of marketing generally, and we look for people who have achieved the position of being content experts, that they're acknowledged sources of places to go if you need information about something. In agribusiness, there's very few suppliers have achieved a content expertise reputation. If you take a look at where content expertise tends to be, it tends to be acknowledged in public sources. University, extension, that's not bad, but I think for ag business, I think there's another one of those opportunities left undiscovered. do a search on, pick a topic. Best fungicide to use in wheat. Do a search and see what comes up. And it will tend to be public centers of information. And my last point on social media is, it's fast, we're slow. Now, management issues. These are looking back and saying, what do I observe about how marketing, communications, and promotional decisions are made, how the process is managed? Well, first management issue is dealing with this concept of fragmentation. What's the best way to communicate? I can't answer that, but there's a lot of tools at your disposal. The best is depending on what the task is. But I see much too fragmentation in our budgets. So I would say the first management issue is discovering or rediscovering the power of no and making choices. What clear message do you want to deliver rather than saying everything to everyone all the time? Use fewer tactics and don't do some things and stay the course. We tend to have an annual planning cycle because budgets are annual. Annual planning cycles don't mean we have to reinvent our marketing initiatives every year. So stay the course. Second point on management issues is this issue of trust that I just talked about. Trust comes down to the brand. What does your organization stand for? What image do you have? What reputation have you garnered? What do you do to live up to that? Brand is not an advertising or marketing concept. Brand is a corporate asset. I don't see enough people that have a brand champion in their senior management team. I think that brand is a core asset, and that asset needs to be guarded more carefully, defended more precisely, and increased in value annually. My last piece will be to say, what do we believe are best-in-class marketers? In other words, what are the attributes in the world of agriculture of those organizations that consistently perform agri-marketing to a high level and standard and get results? And I say get results measured two ways, brand value and market share. First of all, they're disciplined. It's organizations that respect a planning process. Whatever planning process they use, they respect it. And they are not reactive. They are responsive to the market. They are not reactive. Those are different things. Disciplined, first attribute. Second attribute, consistent impressions about themselves and their products are delivered across all customer interactions. They're great at execution. You know, there's an old saying that a good idea executed very well will beat a badly executed great idea every time. And in the world of agri-marketing, that's true every day. So, disciplined, consistency, and great execution. That's kind of my standards of great marketers. And an associate of mine pointed out when I ran that list past them, that none of them are budget related. It applies to the large scale, corporate, multinational, and the regional serving privately held organization. Those skills are transferable and common across all of them. So, I don't think I was too hard in the world of agri-marketing, but I probably didn't completely fulfill my mandate as a complimentary speaker. But thank you for your attention.